The generous life is what we've been looking at, and I hope God has just been opening new areas in your heart, and it's something we all need, no matter who we are, no matter how generous we've been or how we think we have been. In fact, the more generous people feel like they need to be more, and so usually if we don't feel it touches us, it's probably us that needs it. We need to begin to understand. I think the key thing to being generous is really understanding what God has done for us. Not based on a definition of our circumstance or our material things, because that's not how we define God. God is not defined by the good things that happen to us. God is defined by the fact that we are broken sinners, that by the grace of God, He has given us hope and a future. See, we need to understand that whether you are suffering, whether you're hurting, or whether you are blessed and rich, it doesn't matter. We were headed for a godless future. And God did not have to come and choose us, and we did not deserve it. And yet, the grace of God has flowed over us. And because of what we have received, how can we not begin to be people of generosity? You see, it just goes against everything that God has done for us when we begin to hold on to things of this life. And I believe that God wants to bless us if we will just open up, if we will let the Holy Spirit begin to crack our hearts open and begin to just give a new compassion, a generosity, a feeling of blessedness and gratitude of who He is. And when we have that problem, the key problem is always that we are just not seeing God. Because when we truly know God, if you really encounter the God of love and grace, you will not be able to help but to be changed. And so I pray that we have let this begin to open us up. And as we talk about generosity, and we've said this every week, you know, we tend to think monetarily and physically, and yet not that that's not part of it. And we are going to get there eventually, some point in time, maybe. But God is way more concerned with a generosity of heart. You see, I think most of us suffer from a sickness of our heart. We're hard. We are not generous in our love, in our graciousness, in our forgiveness, in our ministry. And that is where God wants to make us generous. And we've looked at those areas. We've looked at being generous of grace and forgiveness. Do we deal with people on the basis of grace rather than comparison? We compare them to us. And usually, like we saw this weekend in our marriage conference, a great time with Matt Chandler. He said, usually what you are comparing is not their brokenness with your brokenness. We were comparing their brokenness with my goodness. They don't deserve it because look how broken they are and look how much I deserve. And he says, that's totally wrong. When we become generous, we don't compare. We compare ourselves with the goodness of God. And when we compare ourselves with the goodness of God, then I don't deserve anything. And praise God for the other people. I can give you graciously because I begin to compare myself only to God. And so we're generous in our graciousness and in our forgiveness. We're able to forgive because who cares what you did for to me? I am nothing. I'm more concerned with what I've done to God. And I have disappointed Him way more than you can hurt me. And so we need to change our perspective. And then we looked at being generous in our ministry last week. Are we generous in how we serve others? Are we generous as we see that I have been given a gift and it is not just to serve me, but how can I serve others? And in serving others, how can I serve God? How can I not give myself to devotion of who God is? And so it is in this generosity of heart that we are praying that God begins to open up and break something within us. You know what? It's like the woman that came to Jesus and she anointed His feet, but to anoint His feet with oil that filled the room with a sweet smell, she had to break it open. And sometimes for us to impact this world and to fill our life with a sweet smell of the joy of the Lord, you have to be broken. And that's the hard part, because we don't want to be broken. In fact, I want to be filled. And yet we can't be filled until we're broken. I know that doesn't make sense. Because we're like, if I'm broken, how can I hold it in? And God says, believe me, with God, all things are impossible. But we've got to let God break us. We've got to let God break through that hardness. Let's look at our scripture that we've looked at. And all of these examples have come from the book of Luke. And it's just kind of been a study of the book of Luke, because Luke has just shown us the heart of Christ as he came and walked among us, in this heart of generosity that changes everything. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, and as he goes through this, this kind of really explains all different areas of heart generosity. It says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return." I'm sorry, put that up there for you. "And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." You see, God has given us so many blessings that we need to begin to give. We need to be people that are generous and begin to see nothing but how can I give. Today I want to look at a different area, and we are going to talk about being generous in power. How can we give away power? And some of us, we think, I don't have any power to give. I don't have power. I don't have influence. And yet we do not realize how much power you have, because power is not how the world defines it. Power is not manipulation. Power is not control. Power is not making things happen that I want to happen. Here's what power is. Power is love. Power is faith. Power is encouragement. Power is hope. And you see, you have that to give. If you know God, you have hope to be generous with. And there is power in that. There is the power of purpose. There is the power that God has given you in knowledge. The fact that you know God, that is power that some people don't have. And it is the power that comes against the weapons of the enemy. You see, the power that we're looking at is the power to tear down strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not talking about you power to take down nations. I'm talking about power to set free the oppressed. This is where God wants you to be generous in your ability to operate in the power that he gives you. And yet many times we use the power of God for ourselves, and we are not generous in understanding that we are to give power. We are to empower others. And so we're going to look at that today. And so we're looking at Luke, and here's our example in Luke chapter 4. Starting in verse 17, talking about Jesus, he goes into the synagogue. And I love this. It says that as was his habit. In other words, he was in church all the time. It was Jesus' desire to be in the house of God. I love this. Who better example? I mean, if he needed it, how can we say that we don't? But he went in. It says they gave him the scroll. It says that the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And this is in Isaiah 61. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Generous power. Jesus said, "I have come to give away power." You see, even as he revealed himself that he was God himself, he was God the Messiah, he was God in the flesh, that God himself had stepped out of heaven, had given up all power. And we know that Jesus had power. He had creative power, that nothing was made that was made that he didn't make. There was nothing that he could not speak into existence. And yet it says that he put that aside and came down to walk with us, to empower us, to speak into us hope. He says that I have come to give power to those who have no power. And he talks about the poor, the blind, the oppressed, the captive. And it's not just those that we define in that, but he's really saying all of us fall into that category in one way or the other. Whether we are physically poor or not, we are all poor. We are poor in spirit. Some of us are poor in attitude. In fact, we even use this word, right? You have a poor attitude. He's come to give good news to the poor. Now, it also means the physically poor, and we need to be moved by that. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But we need to begin to understand that the anointing of God is so that we can give away, that we are called to empower people. We are called to see people that have no power in whatever way, whether they're blind, whether they're poor, whether they're oppressed, whether they're captive, that we are to step in compassion and be generous in power. Because sometimes people don't have their own power. We need to step in and empower them. And yet many times we want to hold on to that. Oh, but then that's going to empty myself of power. Yes. Sometimes you have to give up your own power to empower others. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, how Paul was willing to lay down his life. He says, I give up my right to a good life. See, he had every right to experience prosperity and health and wealth. But he says, I lay that down because I would rather have the sufferings of Christ that you may know life. We need to be people that are generous in power, that I give away the power to pursue. And I know we live in a country where it says that God has given us all the right to pursue happiness. But God has called us, and I thank God for America, but we need to understand that America is not our hope. America is not our future. Christ is our future, and Christ said to lay down their power, that would you be willing to give up your power to pursue happiness, that others may be empowered to know life. There's some things that are greater than happiness. There's some things that are more important than pleasure, liberty, because there's others that don't know even the hope of eternal life. Would you rather claim your rights of happiness and liberty and power while others go to an eternity of hell? Do you really think that's fair? And yet we hold on to our power. We are to give power. So are we being generous in power? Now, here's a key, and you can look back in your Bible, and we're not going to read all through this, and like everyone that we've looked at, the scriptures, there's always something before that's laid the foundation. Before Jesus came into the synagogue and opened up this and said, I've been anointed to come in and touch the poor, to reach out to the hurting, and to set the captives free. And we know this is, some of us say, no, this is a social justice. Jesus said that. You do realize that Jesus didn't set any captives free. There were no prisoners other than Barabbas who got set free when Jesus went to the cross. So he's not just talking physical. He's not just being literal. He's being figurative. There were no poor people that Jesus said, you are no longer poor. Okay? So we got to understand what Jesus is looking at here, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But right before he comes in and proclaims this anointing of what God has called him to do and what he passes on to us, he had just come out of the wilderness in his time of testing. Because before he could be anointed to touch others, there's always one thing that keeps us from being generous in power. And that is we have to learn selflessness, selflessness. Less of me, more of you. You cannot be generous and empower people. Now, we try and empower people while still holding on to ourselves. And you can do a little bit, but I'm going to tell you, you're not, all you're doing is scratching the surface. You're doing token. It's called patronage. And you know what? You're not making any difference when we just give a token of ourselves. That's not generosity. The only way you can truly make a difference in someone's life is when you pour out your own. When we become selfless. When we are willing to have less for ourselves, then you make a difference. Then you begin to empower someone. That is when you begin to make some difference in someone's life that they will always remember that, man, if it wasn't for them, they truly sacrificed. You see, when you sacrifice, it makes a difference in someone's life. Not that you solve all their problems, but it's only through selflessness that God is able to then begin to move in and start the process. You see, it's never our job to finish the process. We need to understand that. Selflessness does not solve a problem. It just puts them on the journey that God starts in them. But it starts with selflessness. Jesus, even though he was God, went through a time of testing that brought him to a place of selflessness. That it says later on in the epistles that Jesus had to learn obedience. That he went through that same process of encountering the problems that we face. Because he was fully in the flesh. Sometimes we say, oh, it was easy for Jesus because he was God. But he operated not in his godness, he operated in his flesh. He was fully man. Even though he was still fully God, I know we can't understand that. That goes beyond our understanding. But he operated in the flesh by his choice. And we need to come into that. Before we can be generous in power, we need to come to that place of selflessness. That we begin to understand that I can only give true power when I have less of myself. That is generosity, but that's the power of generosity. Otherwise, you're just shooting with a BB gun. BB guns, you might put an eye out, but it's not going to stop an enemy. We need the power of selflessness, and it only comes through temptation. You are going to face temptation. There is going to be the temptation to hold on to yourself. We all face that because we want to be generous. How many know we watch that movie? Well, maybe some of us are cold-hearted. But most of us, I'm praying that some of us, we are moved with our heart. That, man, I wish I could touch them. But yet then the temptation comes because then we go back to life tomorrow. And then I really am moved, but then I get hungry. And, I don't know if I want to give that up. And then there's temptation. We are faced with the temptation to hold on to things ourselves. Jesus faced temptation right before this. Three temptations he faced, and we faced the same things. What was the first one? Feed me. Satan came to Jesus and said, turn these rocks into bread, because he had been fasting. He was hungry. We are tempted. This is our temptation. Feed me. I want mine. I'm hungry. I want pleasure. And we live in a temptation of having an attitude of feed me. Feed me. Watch the old movie, The Little Shop of Horrors, The Plant. It's all he wanted. Feed me, feed me. That's how some of us are. It's all about me. Feed me. All that matters is that I get it. Yeah, I'm glad you have it, and I'll rejoice with you, but only if I get it too. See, that's the temptation that we want to focus on. Feed me. But what did Jesus say? He pulled out the word of God in his heart. He said, God said that man shall not live by bread alone, but my feed, because I want to hear from God. He said, yes, I'm tempted to feed me, but I know what I really want is to know God. And so He moved past that desire to feed me to the next one, which was, I want it now. Now, Satan showed him all the nations of the world. Now here, Jesus knew that God was going to put all the world at his feet. So the temptation was not to get all of that. Jesus already knew that that was his. What the real temptation was Satan said, you see, right now, Satan was still the ruler of this world, even today. Now, we know that that's not going to happen forever because there's coming a day when Jesus is going to come back and this world will be put under God's control for eternity. Satan knew that also. But what he's saying, for right now, Jesus, I could give it to you now because right now I'm in charge of the world. So he's saying, Satan, I can give you the easy road. And how many of us, we want the easy road? I want it now. Now, we know that God's given us heaven in the future, but I want it now. I mean, right, heaven is great, but heaven doesn't help me right now. And sometimes we fall to the temptation to take the easy road. God, I still love you, but I just want the easy road. I want it now. You cannot empower people when you want it now. Otherwise, you're just giving token. Jesus said, I will worship only God the Father. He alone is the one that can give me things. And sometimes it's a hard road. In other words, my life for some of us, and I don't know why, some of you are going to live the life of Paul all your life. You're going to wander, you're going to hurt, you're never going to have it. But Paul said, there is now laid up for me a treasure in heaven. Some of you, though, are going to live the life of Priscilla and Aquila, who they got to stay with the church and see the church flourish, and they were wealthy. And yet they served God. Why does God have some this way and some that? I don't know, but we need to begin to say, I'm not going to take the easy road. I know that God is good no matter what. I'm not going to compare myself to others. We've got to break. That's the temptation. Understand that that's not your not normal nature. That's the sin nature that is tempting you. And the third temptation that Jesus faced was, you know, took him up to the temple, he said, jump down because God will save you. He'll give his angels to make sure you don't even hurt your heel. And that's the temptation that we think, okay, God, I love you. I'm going to do whatever I want. And God, you'll just take care of it. There will be no consequences. God, I just want to live my life and then not have any consequences. That's when I want you, God. God, you just step in when I need you and save me. No consequence. That's a temptation to live your life like there's no consequences. When you are doing what you want, and then God will take care of the mess that I make, you can never empower other people because you know what? You're making a mess in their life that they then are having to deal with the consequences of your selfishness. And it affects other people. See, there's a consequence of your selfishness. It affects others. How can you empower people when you're hurting them because we're so selfish? There are consequences. And he says, don't tempt the Lord your God. God is merciful and God will look out for you. But it doesn't mean you just go do whatever you want and then you're going to come back to God and say, clean up my mess. That's not how God, that's not the grace of God. Don't tempt God. God is merciful. God is gracious. But we need to surrender to God. And so he overcame these temptations. So that's the first thing. If we are going to empower the lost, the hurting, we've got to overcome the temptation of our own heart. And so Jesus came out of the temptations, and then he came into the church. Now, before we look at what he said when he came into the church, we need to look at this difference, because there is a difference between empowerment and justice. And we see this in churches. Some churches are really focused on social justice, and we'll see that term a lot. And I'm not saying that's a bad term, and there's a good book out there, and I encourage you to read anything by Timothy Keller. Tim Keller wrote the book Generous Justice. And he talks about that. We need to be people of justice. And usually, now, this is what, when people say that, you need to find out what they mean by that, because justice can mean different things. And because of that, I don't like using the word, because What tends to happen is when we think of social justice, it's about feeding the poor. It's about helping those in the world, the refugee crisis and those. And we'll see a lot of people protesting that, you know, we need to let the refugees in. And I'm not going to go there on that argument, but that's the idea of social justice. But many times the impetus behind that is that because someone's poor, there's been an injustice. That's not necessarily true. Okay, so that's why we need to be careful with the word justice, because we think of justice, we think of fairness. Life is not fair, and God doesn't promise it to be fair. So we need to be careful. The church is not called to make everything what you call fair. Okay, justice, there is justice in the Bible, and God calls for justice, but really most of justice comes from God. God will make everything right. We are called to act justly, in other words, to have a just heart, that we are not to defraud people, that we should not be people that take advantage of others. And so we are called to live justly, but we are not to called to right all the wrongs of the world. Okay, so social justice is an attempt to kind of redistribute wealth, okay? We should all be equal. That's not the Bible. Okay, the Bible calls us to empower one another. Now, the difference of empowerment and justice is justice tries to level everything in a way that we think is fair. Empowerment is an act of compassion to touch those that are hurting. It's not necessarily going to make everything fair. It's not going to make everything right. It is an act of mercy. It's an act of compassion. That's what God has given us to do. So we need to understand that Jesus even said, you will always have the poor with you. He did not call the church to social justice, to redistribute wealth. He called people to love the hurting. That when there are poor that you come into contact, feed them, help them, touch them. But that doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily change their life, because some of the poverty is based on their own consequences. And we talked about this idea of no consequences. That's not a godly. There is a principle that God says you work hard, you earn that money. And there's nothing wrong with that idea, that general idea of capitalism. Now, I know we've turned capitalism into an idea of ruthlessness and taking advantage of people, but the idea of working hard and earning that is a biblical principle. So we are not going to change that. We're not there to, but we are to move with compassion and mercy and just a just heart within us when we treat others. So hopefully I want to give you that understanding of empowerment and justice, because it's real easy for us as a church to get pulled into this idea that we are the authors of justice. Now, we can be moved with heart, and we need to feel for the African-American community, for the Hispanic community, for the Asian community, where there are those that are oppressed. We are to act with mercy and not turn a blind eye. I don't care whether they're right or wrong. We touch people, even if they brought it on themselves. There is still a mercy and a compassion. But we don't get caught up in this political view that makes us think that we need to right all of culture. God is the author of that. We need to be simply lights that reach into people's hearts. Because at the same time that we are moved with compassion to the victims, we also need to be moved with compassion to the law enforcement. I mean, they have a heart. You tell me you would not want that job, to make split-second decisions where your life is on the line. There is a equal mercy and compassion. And we don't have the answer to these problems. Well, we do. The answer is Jesus. The answer in our country is not hate against blacks and violence by police officers. The problem is sin in every person's heart. The answer is Jesus Christ. It is not making new rules and getting rid of bad cops and finding the truth of all these things. The answer is dealing with the sin within our heart, and we need to begin to act with mercy and compassion in every sense to every person, because every life matters. And there are more complex issues than that the flesh, we cannot solve the sin issue. That's why Jesus went to the cross. If we could solve that, we wouldn't have needed him to die for us. So we need to understand the difference that we are called to give our power. We are simply called to pour ourselves out to those around us, and that I need to give the power of love to those that are hurting. I need to weep with those that are weeping, and I need to rejoice with those that are rejoicing. And I do that without any thought of my own condition, because I do not act on comparison of me. I act on generous power. I give my power away to love others, whether they're poor, whether they're hurting, whatever. We need to be moved by this act of generosity. Those at your school that are not loved, we should be the people that walk up beside them. I don't care if it loses your popularity. Those that other people make fun of, we need to begin to be the people that say, I'm not going to let someone bully you. You have a friend. I will stand up and be it. Us at work, adults, we need to be people that love those that are struggling, that are hurting. We can be people that empower those that are less than us, those that are blind, that do not know the hope of God. Wherever we're at, we need to be open to see those around us that we can empower. We can empower them with encouragement. We can empower them with the love of God, with hope, with the good news. And you notice that Jesus didn't say, I came to make the poor rich. He said, I came to give them good news. I only came to give them good news. The good news is that God is their hope, not money. I've come to give that good news. In fact, if you look at that, the only thing he did come to do was to heal the blind and to release those that are oppressed. The others, he gave good news to them that God sees them in their plight. But we can minister to those who are oppressed and give them hope, because God can touch the heart. Even though God doesn't always touch the outward, he does touch the heart. And we're going to close with this great example. Also in Luke is the example of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was one that God showed to be an example of someone who gave power. We see the story in Luke chapter 19. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was very rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, for they said, he has gone in to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of all my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, Christ came to touch the poor. And so you know where he went? To a rich man's home, because Zacchaeus was poor in spirit. He was a wicked man. A tax collector at that day was one who took advantage of other people. That's why people grumbled, why is he going to his house? And yet it so touched Zacchaeus's heart. It empowered Zacchaeus, even though Zacchaeus was a man of power. He had political power. He worked for the Roman government. He was a betrayer to his own people, and yet he had power. And yet Jesus said, you don't have the type of power that I can give you. And I open myself up to you, Zacchaeus. It moved Zacchaeus so much. You like me? See, none of my people like me anymore. Jesus empowered him and touched his life. He was so empowered that he began to give to others. He gave half of his stuff to the poor. He began to touch those that he had defrauded. He began to be a person who gave power. He empowered those around him. But why? Because Christ had chosen to love him. So when we begin to love others, it's not just the poor. We need to love the rich, Because many of the rich are the ones that are oppressed and blind, but we also need the poor. So poor, rich, I'm saying we need to begin to see everyone in such a way that we empower them, that we begin to see the hearts of people, even like Zacchaeus. And then we become people like Zacchaeus. We need to understand that Jesus came to our house. How can we not turn around and say, I want to bless those around me? How can I not, that Jesus came to me who was not deserving, not able to see him? We can't get through the crowds. We can't get through our own hearts to even see Jesus. And yet just Jesus sees us. And he says, come down. I'm going to go with you. What's the key? How can we be like Zacchaeus? Because I can't even get through those temptations. All those temptations, we fail. Feed me. I want it now. No consequences. Yep, that's me. I give into it all time. But here's the key. Jesus already overcame those temptations. The key is that Jesus overcame the temptations. We need to begin to move in Jesus and say, Jesus, I fail every time. I need you. This is what we've got to do, people. We've got to humble ourselves to understand that Jesus already won the battle. Jesus won the battle for you. In fact, Jesus says, in this life, you're going to have lots of problems. But have a good heart. I've overcome the world. You cannot overcome your own flesh. You can't overcome the temptation. So stop trying. And I don't mean give in, but I mean let God fill you. Let God be your strength. Let God begin to give you his righteousness. Understand that Jesus overcame the temptations for you. Secondly, Jesus said, I have been anointed by the Spirit. When he opened the things, he said, this has been fulfilled. We need to understand that we need Jesus to give us the Spirit. You can't overcome. You cannot be generous without the Spirit of God. That's just it. I'm sorry. You can't do it. We need the anointing of, Jesus needed the anointing of the Spirit. We need the anointing of the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit and his power so that I can give power. You know what? You don't have a whole lot of power to give, but when the Spirit fills us with power, we can then give the power of Jesus to others. It is the power that God gives us that we give out. And the third key is how do we let Jesus' victory affect us? How do we let the Spirit empower us and anoint us? And this is it. We draw near to him. I love this. Matt talked about this in our marriages. The best thing that you can do for your marriage, get close to God. It's not about doing all the building communication and knowing each other. Those are good things. You can't do it. You need God. We need to get closer to God. The way you overcome the temptation to have pity parties, the way you overcome the temptation to be me, 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 turn your eyes to Jesus. We need to see him. We just need to see him. We need to draw close. Hebrews tells us this. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect was tempted. Remember we talked about that. Tempted just as we are, yet he without sin. So he overcame the temptation. He knows what you feel like. He knows the selfish nature. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to him, to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Your only hope is to get close to him. Let us draw near. Don't do ABC, just get close to God. You need to spend more time with God. You need to get in the word. You need to pray. You need to be in church. You draw near to God. We draw near to one another because that is our only hope to become people that empower others. How much time are you getting close to God? If you want to touch the hurting, if you want to make a difference in refugees of this world, in the hungry of this world, you need to get closer to God. You need to let him just shine in your life so much that it begins to pour over you. We have got to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit by abiding in Jesus. You see, the fruit comes when we abide in Jesus. We are changed from glory to glory when we behold him. It's all about getting closer to God. The closer we get to God, the more you can empower those around you. Are you willing to let God give you that generous heart? Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I pray that, Lord, we would begin to acknowledge the temptation that we all have. But God, I desire to be a person who can empower the hurting. God, we live in a world of hurting people. We live in a world of injustice. We live in a world where people, God, are poor and hungry and blind and oppressed and captive to so many things, God. And we have the answer, God, but we cannot free the captives. We cannot bless the hurting if we are caught up in our own selfishness. And so, God, I pray that you would empty ourselves so that we can empower others, so that we can be generous in bending down and touching those that are in the mud. Pray that we would be like Zacchaeus and get down out of our tree and begin to give. But God, we need you. We need to come close to you. Jesus, you are the key. Because really, it's all about you. It's not about us, God. I pray, move in our life.